Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Punk Rock NBA Podcast.
Really quickly, before we get into this episode, I wanted to mention my Patreon. Patrons get all of the podcasts a week early. I do giveaways, I do some other stuff, but most importantly, if you want me to review your music or artwork or anything else, Patreon is the way to do that. Every month, I do a call for submissions. All you need to do if you want me to review something is just post it in the comments of that post. Then I will review it live on Twitch for the hundreds of people that tune into every stream and post it on Patreon for everyone to check out. All you need to do is just join at the $10 and up level. Stay tuned for that post and you are good to go. So if that sounds cool to you and you want me to review your music, artwork, or anything else, hit the link in the show notes for this episode. And thank you very much to everyone who supports over on Patreon. Hello, everybody. Today's bonus episode is a very cool conversation with my good friend, Zach Tellender. He does, I guess, what you would call fitness content. Really, it's more like weightlifting. But anyway, the conversation is not about weightlifting because Zach is also a big fan of the kind of music you like here. You may have seen the video that he did like a collab with Bring Me the Horizon where he caught up with them on tour and they hit the gym, pumped some iron and hung out, which is awesome. But more than that, he's just a really like insightful, thoughtful guy as well. He's a YouTuber. You know, he has, 200,000 subscribers, I think he just hit. And so he's given me a lot of good things to think about there. And so in this episode, we talk about all that stuff and in general, just sort of some thoughts about kind of the nature of metal fandom that I think you're going to enjoy. Some good stuff. And if you like this one, make sure you check out his show. There's going to be a link to that in the show notes of this episode. And with that out of the way, let's get into it.
Finn McKenty, thank you for joining me on the Come Correct podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful and honored to be here. I'm a fan.
So I think, you know, for those who are, you know, listeners to the podcast or they check out my YouTube channel, if they can't tell already, music is a massive part of my life. And what I always tell people is like, you know, if weightlifting is here, music is way up here. And I know that, you know, being a YouTuber myself, YouTube is like the biggest platform where I consume content. And so that's how I found your channel. I don't know what video it was, but it was like 2 or 3 years ago. And so as your introduction, I just want to say that, you know, your channel, and I feel as though your channel is actually kind of having this renaissance, or maybe you're having this renaissance. And I know we discussed it earlier on when I was on your podcast. But to start, I guess what I want to know from you is, what are you trying to do? Like, video in and video out throughout the course of your channel, what are you trying to accomplish?
Well, for anybody who doesn't know me, just to quickly tell you who I am, I have a YouTube channel called The Punk Rock NBA, and then I have another one with my own name, just Finn McKenty. And on both of those, I make videos about music, kind of specifically like alternative music, whether that's like metal or punk or alternative rap or, you know, any kind of alternative music. I talk about that, whether that's like, you know, history or current artists or whatever. That's sort of my corner of things. But to answer your question, my actual goal for the channel, which, you know, maybe I'm successful, maybe I'm not, is I want to help people become better critical thinkers, meaning to ask themselves, why do I believe this thing that I believe? And what assumptions do I have that may not be correct? Why do I like the thing? Why do I like or dislike the things that I don't like or do like? And should I change my perspective about any of those things? Because that's something that I've always tried to do in my own life, and I know it's helped me a lot. So again, I have no idea to what extent I'm successful with this, but I try to use music as sort of a way to do that.
And you found a group of listeners that are very dramatic, if you will, in metal fans.
Yes. Metal fans.
Their attachment to their music is very, very strong.
Yeah. Metal fans, you know, the CrossFitters, the music world.
That's fucking amazing. Okay, let's go. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's both good and bad. Cuts both ways. Meaning that it's good in that, you know, there are people who, you know, they love this music and so they get really excited about if I talk about something that they like or don't like, you know, and that's awesome. And I am very grateful for that. The downside of that is that if you say something they don't like, then, you know, you're going to find out about it.
and if you promote music that it may not be something that they like or dislike, they've made the decision before they've even heard
yes.
it. It's like, this can't
yes.
be good.
Exactly.
And you and I, we chat pretty much daily about pop music and our affinity yeah. for pop music. And I think I love the idea of like free thinking and how it translates to music. And it could translate to I think cinema as well.
Anything, any part yeah. of your life. It should
right.
be it should be every part of your life.
Like, yeah, like what is it about this metal song that I really like? Well,
yeah.
could I find that in a Charlie XCX song?
Right.
And like the possibility is like, yes, it's likely true that you could.
Even larger than that, like, why have I been hanging out with the same group of people for 10 years, even though it makes me feel bad every time I come home from hanging out with them?
Yeah, there is a massive,
that's the real point I want to get to. I have no idea whether I achieve it or not, but like, that's really where I'm trying to go is like, I want everybody, because I'm constantly questioning my own assumptions and opinions and tastes. And I would like to help other people do the same, because I think that's the most important thing you can do as a human.
So, yeah, like it's a very philosophical way of looking at things. And it's almost like those movies where there's just like a group of friends and one friend is just like, hey, what if we, you know, like didn't think this way?
Right.
Like we're so sure of ourselves that we think this way. What if we didn't? And they all like right. turn their backs on him or whatever.
Yeah, and music, for better or for worse, is identity for a lot of people. Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, this is true of a lot of, like, I think men really kind of get into this thing of that their hobbies and their media consumption becomes their whole identity. You know, like, I watch this type, I'm into horror movies, or I'm into this type of comic book, or play this kind of video games, listen to this kind of music. And that cuts, like I said, that cuts both ways for content creators, because on the one hand, there's this audience of people who are really passionate about this thing, and they're going to be very excited if you share, you know, your own passion for the thing. But like you said, it's an unfortunate side effect to that is that people have decided that if I like this thing, that means I can't like this other thing.
So what's been your difficulty trying to prove this? That, I mean, in a certain way, you are telling your audience like, hey, you might be wrong. How's that been? You know what I mean? Like, how's that process been for you? What sort of things have you done to hope to make that work?
Well, so for example, I've talked about this many times, but I've talked before about how like rock in general is a genre that's kind of stuck in the past. Like if you look at festival lineups, the headliners are like these bands, like, and nothing wrong with these bands, but it's like Disturbed and Shinedown and Korn and stuff like that. These bands, these guys are like in their 50s now. These bands are like 20, 30 years. Sometimes, you know, you go to Europe and it's like fucking Kiss and the Scorpions headlining. These guys are in their 70s. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's like, that's not a bad thing, but it sort of makes me ask,
like, all right, well, what happens when these guys literally can't play shows anymore? Like Ozzy, you know, unfortunately, his health is failing. He can't play shows anymore. Are we developing the next generation of people to like fill their shoes? And if we don't, then what happens to the genre? Is it going to be like jazz where only, you know, grandpas listen to it?
Yeah.
And do we want that?
Off the top of my head, the only ones that I can think of are, like, what's the name of the, I can't even like the name of the band. The Led Zeppelin, copiers.
Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
that's
and they're
the
not even they're not even really headliners.
Yeah. They're not. I mean, I saw them at ACL. They were like third row.
On the
thing.
Yeah. And again, respect to them. Like they've only been a band for like 5 or 6 years and they're killing it. Yeah. Good for them. Compare that to like rap or pop, like, you know, Rolling Loud just happened and Ice Spice was one of the highlights of it. And I don't know exactly where she was on the placement, but pretty high. And she's only been making music for like a year or two.
Yeah,
because those genres are much more willing to like embrace new artists. And I'm not saying that's good or bad necessarily.
So this is where this is definitely what I wanted to get into, because I've been chatting with you on the side, not in, you know, the public sphere, about Sleep Token quite a bit. And I've converted a lot of my friends. My roommate is trying to book them for a podcast because he's
he's a Sleep Token stan.
Well, it's just interesting. You can't go viral Spotify 4 times in a row and not be something there.
Absolutely. That is no joke.
Yeah. And so this is where I want to push back on you, Finn.
A little bit. Please do.
Because you're like, it's not hooky enough. It's not poppy enough. It's a 6-minute song, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So in this world,
they have 4 songs on the Spotify viral top 50.
So
clearly there's something I am missing.
Here's why. Because you only need 15 seconds or 60 seconds or 90 seconds to fit in a TikTok or to fit in an Instagram reel. So that part where it's like the funky part of the summoning, all you need is 15.
Yep.
And it's so other than that too, like those 4 songs, they have like insanely poppy hooks. So like Chokehold, I was listening to the other day and we were working out, me and my roommate, Chris. Chris was like, dude, if you told me this was a cover of an Ariana Grande song, I would believe you.
Totally.
And so I think that there's
of those 4 songs, I forget which is which. Is that the one that's like the really poppy one? Because
Granite is pretty poppy. Granted.
Maybe that's the one. There's one of those 4 songs where I was like, yes, this is what I want them to do.
Yeah,
and this is just my own personal opinion.
I think Chokehold, that chorus and that hook is like literally sounds like an Ariana Grande, like kind of dark, sexy song.
I agree. Or like Sam Smith or something. I agree. Right. I just wish they would, for me personally.
You want them to push it further.
And get rid of the like 3 other minutes of like meandering prog stuff. Just me personally, because for my personal, the way I think, I mean, I'm a marketer at the end of the day. Like that's my job. That's what I went to school for. That's what I've done for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So for me, my interest is the way my brain works is how big can we make this thing, whatever it is. Like if you tell me to sell cars, how many cars can I sell? How do I do it?
Yeah.
My goal is to make the cash register ring. That's how I think. And I'm not saying that that's like the way everyone should think or that it's, that's just my personal perspective on it. And so what I am looking for, if you remember back in like the TRL era, remember when like Korn and Paramore and Sum 41 and Limp Bizkit and stuff were, and Blink 182 were going like head to head. Like there's an episode of TRL where it was literally Blink 182 and 98 Degrees like facing off for the number one spot. When these bands in these genres were like legitimate like mainstream stars, that is what I want. Because again, that's just how my brain works. And again, because I think that's going to be good for the whole genre, because rock has never been as popular as it was during that era. And I think it's because even if you hate all those bands, it doesn't matter. They're the ones that like establish a beachhead, just the same as in the fitness world. You get some fucking, you know, these influencers or whatever that blow up that get people into fitness, and then that trickles down, blah, blah, blah. So a rising tide lifts all boats is the way I see it. And so for me personally, it's not enough. Like, good for any band that like gets 1 million or 2 million listeners on Spotify and is, you know, playing shows to 1200 people. Like, that's awesome and good for them. And there's every reason for them to be happy for that. Happy with that. But for me, what I want is a transcendent, like, breakout star. That's what I'm looking for.
Do you think that Bring Me the Horizon is close?
Close, yes. But yeah. Again, they're also a 20-year-old band.
Right.
Yeah. Not to discredit them at all.
I think that singer-songwriters or pop stars have kind of ruined that. Like,
Well, you know who is that rock people hate is MGK.
Yeah.
And I mean, he seems like a dick and I don't want to be his friend, but let's not take anything away from him. He went number one back to back on Billboard with pop punk albums. He's like a legitimate mainstream celebrity that's on TMZ and shit like that. How many people are going to get into this music because of him that are then going to go on to listen to fucking Lorna Shore and Sleep Token or whatever? Yeah. It's happening. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think a band could do this, or is it just have to be a single? Like, because that's what I mean. Like, solo artists.
Yeah.
They have gone off. Like, Harry Styles has a rock show now, and like, I'm sure you've seen live video. It's just rock and roll. You know, he's got a band, but it's like, that's not rock. No, it's not it doesn't give you the vibe of Blink-182 facing off versus 98 Degrees. Which, by the way, when you mentioned all of those bands, I thought of immediately leads to those songs came to my head. Like the actual, either whether it was lead guitar, the lead riff of the piano, whatever it was, came in for every one of those bands.
Yeah, like, they had great hooks.
Typically
the hook is the vocal, but not always. And I mean, it could even be the drums. Like if you know that song Blue Monday by New Order that Orgy covered, you know, that has like a drum hook, which is pretty rare, but they exist. To your point, I definitely think that solo artists work much better in the current environment, in particular, because it is much easier. I think it's just a part of human psychology is that we connect with individuals more than we connect with groups. Like you think about team sports, for example, you're a Tom Brady fan and or maybe you hate him, whatever, but you're a Russell Wilson fan. Like you connect, these teams become like a breakout success when they have some sort of a breakout star on them. And you don't even, unless you're a hardcore fan, you don't even fucking know anybody past, you know, the quarterback and the wide receiver and the coach or whatever. Like our brains are just programmed for that. And in particular on social media, it's just a lot easier for us to like connect with one person who can make TikToks than it is to connect with four or five people. And in any of these groups, typically there is always like a breakout star. In the case of Blink, it happens occasionally that all three of them actually are super charismatic people with star power.
If you look at MGK, Harry Styles, Post Malone, those are like the closest to rock stars that we have.
Before Juice, Peep, X.
Right. But they all start through other genres. They all start. So like Post Malone grows through hip hop and then he can dabble with rock and roll and dabble with singer songwriter shit.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, pop music. And now he's got like a rock band.
Yeah.
And then MGK, hip hop, and then into pop punk.
Yeah.
I just feel like that there is no way for an organic rock and roll band to exist at that level. I just don't think it's possible.
I think anything is possible. If it's happened before, it can happen again. There's nothing that was different about 2003 from 2023 that would mean it can't happen, but it can only happen if rock culture will allow it to happen. Meaning that I feel like anytime someone deviates from the sort of like rigid expectations that the fans have, then they hate them. And there's all these examples of maybe not necessarily bands, but certainly solo artists who are rock adjacent that are having a ton of success. Let's take Lil Uzi Vert, for example.
Right.
Or Playboi Carti, for that matter. Playboi Carti has a Bad Religion tattoo. You know, Trippie Redd made a rock album. Lil Uzi Vert, obviously a rock guy. He went to a Lorna Shore show years ago before they were even popular. Like, he's not a fucking tourist.
Right.
And rock people want nothing to do with any of them. And I think that's problem number one.
You had a video on Suicide Boys as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Suicide Boys. There's an, I mean, they're a duo.
Yeah.
There's an example. They're a duo.
And they were like,
they're fucking big.
They came like right out of punk. Like they were actual punk fucking dudes.
Yes, they did. And they are a fantastic group. It's only two of them. Yeah. But they're a group and they're selling out arenas. They're playing the same venues as fucking Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you cannot argue with that. They have like 11 million Spotify listeners. They're fucking huge.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. The problem is that they aren't seen as part of rock culture, even though, as you said, they very clearly, obviously are. But all the boomers, and I say boomer because boomer is a state of mind, not an age.
Right.
The boomers won't accept them. And so it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, well, rock isn't popular, and we're going to rigidly push out anything that doesn't fit our definition of rock, and therefore rock will continue not to be popular.
Yeah, it's very, because like metal seems like the move now. Metal or punk-ish kind of hip-hop. It doesn't seem like that can exist, like the rock can. I mean,
there is one exception to that is, do you know that band Måneskin?
Mm-mm.
They're really big. They won Eurovision. They're Italian. I don't really care for their music at all. But they are very, 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 very big. Like, I want to say 20 million Spotify listeners or something. And they've only been a band for like 5 years.
Okay. And they're rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't think it's like amazing necessarily, but it doesn't matter what I think. They're doing it. So I think you're correct that generally speaking, it's way harder for a band to succeed now than it may have been in the past. But I mean, K-pop also makes it work with groups.
Yeah, it's just what's trending, I think. I think there could be something that occurs.
You can make it work. You know, never say never. You can make it work. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Do you feel as though you're kind of got the blinders on now to where you're almost like fed up with metal too much? Or do you ever, like, I feel as when I speak to you, you know, again in private, it's like, it's almost as if you're like, I just can't be fucked to listen to that. Or, you know, I feel like Finn, you're at this point now where you're like swaying too far to like, all you want is a hook and all you want is a popular rock band. Do you still, you know, give it up for metal every once in a while? Or is it just like, are you tired?
Sure. Yeah, of course. But just like, I mean, I'm wearing a cerebral incubation shirt right now, which is like a really fucking nasty, obscure, like slam death metal band. I like that stuff. I like a lot of like really gross, weird black metal. I like a lot of hardcore. There's a lot of good hardcore bands now, like Drain, for example, is awesome. There's a band called Gridiron that's awesome. I like a lot of that stuff. What I don't like is kind of this, I think metalcore, especially right now, is fucking absolutely shot. It's like every fucking band has these ripoff fucking Bring Me the Horizon or Architects verses. These fucking just completely fucking derivative shot gent riffs for the verses. And then a fucking half-assed Linkin Park chorus. And I'm fucking sick of it. It's trash. It's like, we've been doing this for 10 fucking years since Sempiternal came out. Everyone has just been on their fucking dick for 10 fucking years. And it's like, guys, we already have one Bring Me the Horizon. We don't need fucking 500 more.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, hey, friends. My name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to the show on the road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
So my answer to that would be like, I think Turnstile putting out that album.
Yeah.
Just being like, hey, this could be the new sure. metalcore. Like this, we can go more towards hardcore, more towards punk, I think.
Yeah. Like, I know
exactly what the fuck you're talking about. Dudes just, I think you said in your video, like, as long as it's not dudes genting in a colored room.
Yeah, in their fucking LED room that looks like some kid that plays too much Fortnite. You know, like, guys, no more fucking motorcycle jackets. No more fucking gent riffs. No more Linkin Park choruses. Just find something else to fucking do. Like, what? It's been done so many fucking times, specifically metalcore and all the fucking
metalcore, yeah,
garbage that they play on, like, Octane. I'm so fucking over it. It's trash.
So a song that I've been listening to recently is, and I know I'm late on this because it came out like 6 months ago, but When We Were Young by Architects.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's a slight change, or is that exactly the garbage that you're talking about?
Well, with Architects and Bring Me the Horizon, I mean, they're the two bands that like pioneered that sound.
Right. But I think, you know, I feel like this is much more dumbed down. It sounds much more hardcore. It sounds like,
but you know what I mean?
Plugged into like, a PA.
I'm gonna exempt those two bands. There's a thing that happens where a band who pioneers a style can end up sounding generic because they've been like ripped off so many times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Architects is a perfect example of that. There's so many fucking Architects ripoffs that it almost makes Architects sound generic, yeah. Which, you know, I think is unfair to them, but I understand why people might think that. So that song, When We Were Young, the other difference with Architects, I care a lot about lyrics and vocal performance and like the message. Architects actually have something to say. For example, the lyrics to that song are, I think, very good. And if you know the history of the band, I'm not sure. Do you know about
yes,
Tom one and of everything?
One of the members dying, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they write a lot about that, and that's real. And I think a lot of these bands, these shitty metalcore bands, don't actually have anything to say. I think that they're just kind of going through the motions and playing stuff that's, you know, sounds meaningful, but doesn't actually have any meaning, if that makes sense. I don't think they have anything to say.
This is where I'm optimistic, is like people are just like that again. Like the reason why I like that song is it sounds like they're plugged into a PA. It literally is just like four dudes plugged into their fucking,
yeah,
you know, is that where the refreshing aspect of metal to you is going to go? Like where you just like it's dudes literally playing out of amps.
I mean, it could be.
Turnstile felt like to me.
Yeah, that's one option, you know, but there's an infinite number of options. You know, it's not for me to say what people, you know, what specific thing people should do. And I think like, if anything, I would say the opposite of that. Just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, just take off, like you said, just like take off the fucking shackles. You don't have to do the same fucking thing as everyone else. And I would argue that it's not even like, even if you're trying to get famous and make money, I don't think that's how you do it. I mean, like,
it's by genting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a handful of bands that are broken through, but like, you know, Bad Omens, I would say, is probably the biggest breakout in that genre in the past several years. And the reason why is because they have a fucking amazing vocalist. Because I know metal fans don't want to hear it, but like vocals are the most important part of almost every song. And if you look at the biggest bands in metal, they have great vocalists.
Yep.
With really strong lyrics and vocal hooks, like Slipknot, Korn, Limp Bizkit. Well, I mean, Fred's not a good vocalist per se, but like they have very strong hooks, you know. Bring the Horizon, you know, like it's a thing. And Bad Omens is a great example of that. I think we got to get less fucking guitarists running the show. That's a huge problem, is a lot of this music is just by guitarists for guitarists. And that's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, no one's ever, like, as far as popular music goes, no one's ever given a shit about virtuosity. Except for a moment there, you know, if you want to talk about hair metal days, though, I think that's what kind of like,
yeah,
made it so that, you know, the, you know, Eddie Van Halen was more famous than anyone else in that band, I think. And
yeah,
Jimmy Page as well. I think Jimmy Page was bigger than Robert Plant, I think.
Yep.
You know, it goes on and on. I think that's part of
your
metal
Slash and, you know, all those people for sure.
And that's part of that metal culture, but I don't think they ever got in the way of a good
girls showed up because they wanted to fuck Robert Plant.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you lost women, game over. If women don't like your music, it's done.
Dude, here's what I think. It's if you're a good guitarist, great. That's awesome. And that's another aspect of your band for people to want to fuck and, you know, whatever. But the riff, the hook, like, so it could be a vocal hook. It could be a chorus. That's a hook. But if there's a riff, then it's just as good as having a good lead singer.
Well, it can be, but it usually isn't.
So Sweet Child of Mine is a riff. That's a riff, you know, like it goes on and on. Like Satisfaction is a riff. That's, you know, that these are songs where like, well, maybe the Rolling Stones isn't a good example because, you know, Keith isn't like the greatest guitarist, but Eddie Van Halen
but he wrote great songs.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
the coolest thing I saw with Kurt Cobain was the interview Howard Stern had with Dave Grohl.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Howard Stern doing this like pushy interviewee shit with him. All it was about Kurt. It's like the whole time.
Like, but Dave, don't you think that blah, blah, blah?
And there was the part where he's like, dude, all Kurt wanted to do was make the simplest, most catchy song. That was it. That was like one of the lines I heard. I'm like, you fucking grunge nerds, you metal dorks, you love Kurt Cobain, but you hate pop music.
Right.
Your Lord and Savior is the king of hooks. Okay. Yeah. So
take another band like Polyphia, which has had a lot of success despite being just absolute fucking turbo nerd music. And ask Tim Henson from Polyphia. He does not give a fucking shit about metal. All he listens to is rap and pop. You can go on his YouTube channel and he will show you exactly which rap and pop songs he has used for inspiration. Playing God is a, like,
it's just a trap song.
Yeah, it's a straight up trap song. There's another song, I forget which one it is, where on YouTube he breaks down how he copied the structure from a Taylor Swift song. Like, he's not trying to hide it. He doesn't give a fuck about metal.
Yeah.
So even, I guarantee you that nobody in Bring Me the Horizon's going home and listening to fucking, you know, I Prevail, you know.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, I mean, I fucking hung out with the guys. I know they're not listening to them.
No, and that's no shade on I Prevail. It's just, and this goes back, I remember when I was a kid, I was really into Anthrax. And I remember reading an interview in like Guitar World with Scott Ian, and they asked him what music he listened to. And he was like, Madonna. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
No, what? The guy from Anthrax doesn't go home and listen to Testament? What?
Didn't Rob Zombie's favorite band, didn't he say baby metal?
Yeah.
I think he said baby metal or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And so the point is, like, for, I think there's a huge problem with just rock culture in general, but especially metal, is like their frame of like musical reference is so fucking narrow that, I mean, of course, if all you listen to is fucking, you know, Lorna Shore and Cattle Decapitation and 500 other bands that sound like them, Infinite Annihilator or whatever, of course you're going to make music that is like derivative and uninteresting because you're drawing from such a narrow range of influences.
Yeah. So if I'm to translate this into my own life, sorry, someone just rang on the doorbell. My roommate's going to get that.
They always do that.
But the moment I try and branch out into something a little bit more mainstream, I can feel the pressure from my audience being like, hey, you know, you are our guy, like, don't leave us type of thing. And so I definitely feel this a lot in my own YouTube, and I know you do too. But I think there are tricks of the trade to be able to do this. You know, you don't want to be like, fuck you to my audience.
No.
I'm changing. And if you guys aren't changing with me, fuck off.
Because guess what? They're going to fuck off.
Yeah, they're going to fuck off and they're not going to come back. And
no.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I've started to do, you know, like yesterday I put out a video and it was like, because I did the CrossFit Open just like without training for it. It was fun. It was novel. And I do. It's like, you know, the same way you feel about pop music is the same way I feel about CrossFit. It's like, well, you know, weightlifting, powerlifting, strength training seriously is my metal. It's my rock and roll.
Yeah.
But CrossFit is my pop. And
which
so,
you're not allowed to like CrossFit because CrossFit
exactly.
CrossFit is for losers that don't know how to do a pull up and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. 100%. So I go and I dabble with CrossFit and it's fun. Like I'm having fun and I'm like, damn, that was really cool. Like it felt good. And then, you know, there's a ton of comments being like, oh great, you're a fucking CrossFitter now. It's like, right. By the way, less than 24 hours later, I posted a video of us at a booth in the Arnold doing snatching and clean and jerking.
Yeah.
Like it's not who I am. I'm just, I want to go over here. Yeah.
Today.
I want to go over there. I want to go over there.
Yeah.
And even when what an opportunity for your tiny fucking strength and, you know, strength and conditioning YouTuber to go hang out with Bring Me the Fucking Horizon.
Yeah.
Okay. And then to bitch about Bring Me the Horizon and how they sold out. I can't tell you how many comments I got from people being like, yeah, that's really cool that you got to do that. Too bad. Bring Me the Horizon sold out and they suck. It's like,
yeah.
What are you guys, in what reality are you living in? You know, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, welcome to metal.
Yeah, I want you to start interviewing some pop people for your podcast. So have you reached out to any of like bigger names or singer-songwriters, or is it usually the metal?
My job, I try to stay very humble, and you know, our conversation was really helpful. So I want to thank you again for everything you told me. It was super helpful.
Oh yeah.
I try to stay humble and grateful rather than getting angry at the audience because, you know, I mean, they bought me a house. I mean, that's just a fact, you know?
Right.
And they don't owe me anything. I'm very grateful for the fact that anybody gives a shit what I have to say about anything at all. And so if I catch myself getting, you know, frustrated with them, I try to just like dial it back and stay grateful, number one, and humble, which is nobody is obligated to give a shit what I say about anything. And so in general, my job, I look at it as my job is to create content that my audience is going to enjoy. It is not my job to, you know, express my own opinion necessarily. If those two things overlap, that's awesome, but they don't have to. And so with podcast guests, you know, my audience is like dudes in their 30s, basically. And, you know, I don't think that those people want to hear me talk with pop stars because they don't know who those people are. They don't care. And I'm not going to try to force that on them.
Interesting. Interesting. But do you feel as though, like, you know, I don't even know my podcast audience really that well. It's a relatively new experience for me making this. I know there's these listeners out there that really like the channel. It's like, I almost want to extend the olive branch and be like, hey, you know, there is a relationship here between music creation and strength and conditioning creation.
Yeah, this definitely is.
You know, this, the whole first half is basically about how you can balance this ideology around how you feel about something and maybe challenge it. Like, that's your goal. It's absolutely my goal. And it almost should be any creator's goal. So I try to find that similarity there, but I see what you're saying, that it might be hard to pull in Ariana Grande. Obviously it'd be hard to get her, but to pull in Ariana Grande and have that relationship to metal, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's even like smaller pop artists that I'm sure I could talk to, like alternative, you know, kind of pop artists. Like, I don't know. There's like a artist named Dane, for example, who I love. She, or I guess they, did a song with Ollie from Bring the Horizon a year or two ago or something.
What song was that?
I forget the name of it. It's a Dane song. Ollie's the feature.
Okay.
I think it's called Salt.
Okay.
I think. That's cool. But for example, I'm sure I could get Dane on. But you know, would my audience care about that? Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. You really never know. But in general, I'm not trying to force my tastes or interests on them. You know, if they want to hear, look, I made 3 videos about nu metal in the last week. I hate nu metal. I'm so tired of it.
I watched your other channel. I think I watched your other channel, to be honest, more than.
It's better. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's better personally, because it's just, it's not curated as much.
Yeah.
And you said you hated nu metal on that, and it shocked the shit out of me. I was like, there's no way. Okay. So this is again, challenging Finn.
Yeah.
You hate nu metal, yet you want nu metal again. You want nu metal.
I don't want the sound of nu metal, because we have plenty of that. I don't even care personally, but, from the point of view, if I'm putting on the hat of someone who is an advocate for the genre of rock, I want breakout mainstream stars in the same way as Fred Durst was a breakout mainstream star in 2001. Whether that sounds like, I would prefer it doesn't sound like Limp Bizkit, but so specifically that's what I'm after, is like the breakout star part, less so the sound of nu metal part.
So you genuinely don't like Limp Bizkit. Like you don't like it.
I mean, it's okay, I suppose. It's not the worst thing in the world. Limp Bizkit's okay. Linkin Park's pretty good. Korn, I would say, is my favorite of those bands by far.
I think it's the most respected one.
Yeah, Korn's really good. Linkin Park has a lot of really great songs that just really aren't like, they are just good songs that could be in any genre. You could make any of those into a pop song, you know?
Right.
But in general, like, I mean, it blows my fucking mind that people think Mudvayne is like great music. That shocked me. Like, really? This is where our taste is at? That, like, you're like ready to die on the hill of defending fucking Mudvayne, the band that glued fucking bugles to their faces? I mean, look, whatever. Like what you like. I don't care. It's just, I never thought we would see this day.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I think we're going to wrap it up. Just a little short guy there. But I do appreciate you coming on. And I love the connection that I feel between music and like, I don't know. I don't even like calling it fitness, you know, but I guess that's like the art, you know, the overarching term, but this connection to just between creators.
But I think it's really about strength sports, not so much fitness. Cause I don't think it's like running. you know?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's specifically strength sports and combat sports.
Yeah. And there's definitely ideologues that exist here in this, you know, people's entire identity. I just made that skit the other day. I don't know if you saw, but it was like, if strength sports were people, and I just, you know, was a person, but except I was powerlifting
Okay. I need to see that.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a guy who walks in the door at the end and he's just Greg. His name is Greg, but it's just me again. And his thing is like, yeah, you know, I have a wife and kid. I work 9-to-5 job. And I'm really good at mitigating stress. And then everyone's like, wait, so you're telling me, you know, the gym isn't your entire identity? And he's like, you know what? I guess it isn't. And they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. What's wrong with you, you fucking loser?
You fucking loser. Yeah. Like you're telling me metalcore isn't like everything to you? You know,
that's kind of how I feel about jujitsu. Not so much that like, it's not even that I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep you, but I would be interested in your thoughts on this. I just can't make jujitsu as big of a part of my life as other people do. And I'm not faulting them for that, but you know, there's like guys in their 20s that like have some like they're jujitsu bums and all they want to do is train and watch videos and talk about jujitsu. And I think that's awesome. Like I have no problem with that. There's a lot of worse things you could be doing, but it's just kind of a bummer to train with them because I can't do that even if I wanted to. And it's almost like not fun because they get better so much faster than I do. And it's just like, man, this fucking sucks. Like you're beating me worse than you did every week. You beat me worse than you did the week before, you know?
So for me, it was, dude, I stopped doing jujitsu and I started making more money. I started getting more subscribers. I started making more videos. I started getting better at answering emails. Yeah. I started getting healthier, eating better, establishing like everything got better for me. And this is a me problem. This is me. You can absolutely go to jujitsu 3 times a week. Me, sure. It's like, if I'm not going 5-7 times a week, you know, like I'm losing to those guys and I can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I can't
show my professor that I'm not dedicated to the craft. So
that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. It's something where if I come back, I'm going to have a balance to it. And I don't care. I'm going to go 3 times a week. I'm going to chill, have fun, and get the fuck out of the gym. I have to, or else I'm going to go insane, you know?
Yeah. Cause otherwise it's just, I mean, I love jujitsu. It's so fun, but it's not fun. It's not even that I'm not like one of these people that's mad about losing. Cause I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm a purple belt, which not that that's anything special, but you don't get to purple without getting smashed literally thousands of times. Like it's not that it's not about ego. Like, oh, I don't want to lose. It's just like, if you're losing 80% of the time, it's literally just not fun.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty much it. And like it's absolutely it. And then, you know, you feel that pressure to go all the time. And
yeah, exactly. And
for like, me, my productivity was way down.
This is making me feel more stressed out.
Yes.
Like, why am I doing this? You know?
Yes. Why do I need added stress? Like, why do I need added competition? There's so much competition in YouTube and
exactly
what we do.
I don't need a third job.
All right, Finn. We're going to cut it there.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming by. Guys, please go to Punk Rock NBA and then Finn McKenty, 2 different channels. His second channel, Finn McKenty, I think is better than the other one.
I agree.
The one that I watch more. It's more off the cuff. And then on Instagram, it's just Finn McKenty, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Am I missing anything?
That's it.
All right. Appreciate you, Finn.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.